Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Hi, Charlie. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, Laura. It's great to be here.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I live in New Jersey. I write both beach reads and historical mysteries. Before I became a writer, I was a professional dancer, and I sort of toured the world and met all these fabulous people and saw incredible things. And then I moved to New Jersey to have kids. But I started writing books, and I think I have about 20 or 30 now. I made the New York Times and the USA Today best-selling list, which is really cool. And I'm very happy doing it.
That is really cool. So what kind of historical mystery do you write? Like, do you have a time period that you look, do you write for? Or you...
I have one series that takes place in the at Newport during the 1895, I think. The height of the Gilded Age with all those huge, huge cottages. And I have a new series. I just turned in the fourth one. No, the fourth one's coming out in November. That's in Manhattan in the 1907-1908, and stars a young widowed dowager countess that's come to the new world to make her fortune. Of course, she ends up having to investigate murders, so it's a lot of fun.
Oh my gosh, that's a lot of fun. I love Wheels of Age, so you had me at Newport 1890.
Oh, I know. I mean, the fashion alone, right?
Yes, the fashion. I adore, like, I don't know, like the inventions and stuff. Like, I live in New York for a long time, so it just reminded me of like a New York, like an era, like things that are like, they're still alive, or like they're just getting started, like new things, new beginnings.
And that's why that period to me is so interesting, because it was like the new woman, you know, like all the Victorian stuff was kind of going out, and all this incredible new inventions and jobs and education is just, it's really a fascinating period.
Yeah. Oh, so exciting. And so you write beach reads too. So when inspired you to write some beach reads? Like, you know, which are perfect for the summer. We'll be talking about one of them today. They're perfect for the summer time to read.
Well, they are, I call them, well, they're about women and dealing with life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's some romance and there's some, I don't do tragedy or any of that kind of stuff. They're very uplifting, HEA kind of happy ending kind of stories. I call them, actually one reviewer called them beach reads with substance, because I do like to deal with things that really make a difference in our lives. I mean, real problems. But I just call it grown-up girls trying to figure out stuff at the beach. So.
I love this. And so were you always a reader, or are you a writer? Writing came, which one came first, writing or the reading?
Oh, well, it's hard to say. I was definitely a reader. I was born and raised in the South, and the summers were so hot that I would be one of those nerdy kids that would like reach the 100 books read over the summer first in the library. But I also started writing very young. I remember that I had a story about ducks and puddles and things like that. So, I mean, I was up there with both reading and writing. In fact, not long ago, I was cleaning out some boxes from my mother's house, and I found some crazy stories I wrote when I was maybe 12. I don't know why I did it. I don't remember doing it, but there they were.
Oh my gosh, I love this. I love when it's like start young, and then you just like, you don't realize that until like later, years later, it's like, oh, you know, that little seed of a dream just became reality, you know?
Yeah, I never even sort of acknowledged it. Mm-hmm. I didn't start writing until after I had my first profession. So Yeah. I took a course at NYU just out of the blue one time and went, oh, this is cool. And I just sort of fell into it.
Oh, that's so cool. I love this. I used to work at NYU, so I'm always fond of those memories, you know. It's a good school. So let's see. What has been the process of writing during the pandemic? Has it been any easier, any harder? Has it been the same? Like, you know.
Well, you know, it's strange because at first, you know, because I work at home. So my morning consists of getting up, getting coffee, going to the office in the next room. So I didn't really notice. And plus I was under, you know, I had two deadlines ahead of me. Mm-hmm. So it was just work as usual. When I started noticing things, when it started getting to me, I think is when I realized that, you know, around 4 or 5 o'clock, I usually can finish up, you know, maybe have to do a little social media or, you know, some things. But that's when you go out and meet your friends at the bar or have dinner or, and there was none of that. So that became very wearing, but I always try to remember, like, so many people had it so much harder. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a nice place and a yard that I could get out into, you know, so, yeah, it was kind of intense toward the end, but got two and a half books done in that year.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing, you know, getting the books done, like just going through it, you know, even despite all the stuff. That's really amazing.
It's kind of the same, really. I mean, you just have to put on blinders and just do it. And you get into the zone. So when you're in the zone, you forget what's happening outside your world. It's really the times in between, or like the times when nothing, the idea you had that was so great when you got up really sucks. You know, halfway through the scene, you go, oh man, this isn't working. And there's no place, there's no like, okay, you can walk outside if nobody's around, but you know, I don't know, I couldn't escape. I usually escape to the ocean and now a little drive away, so.
Well, I'm glad that you were able to get some writing done, even though, like, it was, you know, you didn't have the outside escapes, you know, but hopefully the end is sight, so.
Hopefully. Yeah, we're finally opening up here in Jersey, so.
Yeah, same here. Things are opening up slowly but surely, so. Let's chat about Imagine Summer. What is that elevator pitch?
Well, I haven't done one in a really long, but I would say that my protagonist, Skye McKenzie's, her imagination always used to get her into trouble when she was a kid. And now it's making her a fortune because she runs workshops on creativity without judgment. And it's for everybody from children to, you know, stressed out executives, and everything is going great until her estranged sister shows up in town, bringing Skye's teenage soulmate in tow and starts to disrupt Skye's life and the town she's grown to love. So, and it gets more chaotic from there.
Takes it a journey. So what do you hope readers to get out from reading the story?
Well, I always, my stories are like slice of life, you know, and they're kind of safe places because it's about my protagonist. And I usually have 3 or 4 threads. I like stories with lots of characters. So I have, like, you know, older generation, middle generation, sometimes kids. And I think that, you know, you should trust yourself. You should trust your imagination. You should be willing to go to bat for your friends and be able to accept their help when you need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a lot.
It is. I think what it's like, the perfect escape, like right now to, you know, we're just trying to take a breather, just go and like, just sit down and read the book and just get escape into somebody else's journey. You know, as opposed to having to deal with the old issues. Like, yeah. You're like, oh, I can just project it to somebody else's stuff.
So. Yeah, and with me, you know that I don't have like that closed happy ever after ending, but because I have like several character stories going on in my book. So, but everybody has a hopeful. I'm just not going to depressing.
Yeah.
You know, the protagonist kind of gets wrapped up, or at least you can see the future, and the others are like on a positive path, because life doesn't, not everybody gets a happy ending on the same page in life. So, you know, I just go with that.
I think you just give us a happy ending. That sounds good. You know, take us on a journey and then just bring us apart and then just bring us back together. And then just everything's going to be fine. You know, I think that's kind of like the type of book that I read is like, and just everyone needs to be fine at the end, like some sort of fine.
Exactly. I actually, one time I was at the conference and this woman came up to me and said, I just want you to know that I've been in a really bad place lately and your books lifted me up.
Mm-hmm.
And so she walked away. I was so astonished because I'm not like an inspirational kind of writer. I just kind of tell it like I see it. Mm-hmm. And I never thought about, you know, really helping somebody in that way. So that was sort of an eye opener for me. And it really made a difference to the way I approach writing now.
I love this. And so talk to us about your November release. What are you releasing in November?
There's a new Lady Dunbridge Gilded Age Manhattan mystery called A Secret Never Told. Mm-hmm. And Lady Dunbridge takes on a group of irate psychoanalysts and Coney Island. It's Ooh. Quite fun.
Oh my gosh, that sounds like fun. So how do you come up with a mystery? Like, you know, just is the idea sparked, a plot comes first, or is it a seed of an idea that just like snowball from there? Like
I call my, everybody has their name for their technique. I call my technique the glom technique.
Mm-hmm.
Because I take, you know, I get an idea for maybe a character, and then I kind of glom someplace she lives. And then I kind of come up with another character and then glom their relationship. And then I glom a possible plot point. So it kind of, my stories kind of in my head grow sort of concentrically rather than in a line until I get to the actual writing. And then you kind of have to do the linear thing.
That's amazing. I love this like, technique. I think this is like every person I talk to, authors, and they all have like different ways of writing. And it's like, I'm mm-hmm. always amazed. Like, you just have to figure out, like, you got to do it and then try to figure out what works for you.
Yeah, yeah. It's so true. I know people that just sit down, like, and now they swear they do this. I can't even picture it. They just sit down and start writing and the ideas come to them. I have to spend time before I ever put, I mean, I take lots of notes and like, oh, this would make a good scene. Can I use it? Who knows? And I like dash off some scenes or some things I think should happen, or wouldn't this be a good character? But I have a pretty basic idea of what's going on and who the people are before I ever sit down to write.
I love this. So let's see, what has been a book you read this past year or last year or at some point that you can't stop crushing about, you would recommend our listeners to pick up?
Oh boy. You know, I read a lot of nonfiction, obviously, in research, mm-hmm. but I think one book that's sort of out of my regular kind of reading was, let me see if I can remember the name of it, The Truth and Other Hidden Things by Lee Jeller. It's about a Manhattanite woman and her family that moved to the burbs and get in total trouble. And mm-hmm. and since I spent so many years in Manhattan, it just spoke to me. I was with her on every page. I was like, hooray for stuff. And I was cringing at other stuff that happened. It was the most actively involved I've been in a book for a while.
That's a really good book. I did read it and I loved it. I thought it's a great commentary.
Isn't it? Yeah. I started reading and went, oh yeah, that's my life or my former life. So that was fun.
Yeah, as someone who also just left New York, and I was like, yeah, I understand. Although I always look back at the Hudson Valley with like just nostalgia of like, oh, the grass is green in Hudson Valley. Everyone's like so nice, and there's farmers market, and there's all the other greenery. You know, <we're> like no.
Yes, well, not exactly like that. I mean, yeah. I mean, I can look out my window here and see grass, and it's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I don't see grass anymore. I'm in Chicago, so I moved from one city to another city, but it's still like.
You know, it's like you had to go halfway across the country though, right?
Yeah, pretty much. So tell us where you can find you online.
I have a website, shellynoble.com. I have a couple of Facebook pages, profile. Let's see, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, BookBub. I'm there. Just, you know, if you just Google Shelly Noble, you'll find me pretty fast.
Awesome. Thank you, Shelly, for being on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was great.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share it with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For book recommendations, author interview archives, and other fun book resources and tips, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. The What You Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network. To discover new shows to listen and love, please visit frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.